Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, hey, welcome back to Past Gas, the Donut Media Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again. My name is Nolan Sykes. James is not in this week again because
He's taking some rest.
So with me today, I have one Joe Weber.
Heyo.
And one Jeremiah Burton.
Hello, hello.
They are both writers at Donut Media, and they're great guys. And last week we had a ton of fun talking about the PT Cruiser, which we're going to continue today.
Was that last week already?
That was last week.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Past Gas Podcast. It's about cars. It's not about ports.
Hey guys, welcome to the Past Gas Podcast. If you like Past Gas, please help us grow by giving us a good rating and a nice review on the podcast platform of your choice. It'll really help us out, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. All right, now for the show. All right, heading into the new millennium, Chrysler had a lot of good energy surrounding them. Sure, the Prowler didn't do amazing, but it gave Chrysler a much-needed image rebranding and got people excited for what was to come. They had spent the better part of a decade designing and engineering a new car using the most sophisticated technology on the planet, and they were confident it was going to be a hit. The PT Cruiser was Chrysler's savior. Chrysler chose a plant in Toluca, Mexico, right outside of Mexico City, to begin production on the new car. This Chrysler plant had a reputation for building high-quality cars on a shoestring budget.
So the workers were not paid very well, probably.
That's what that means.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This plant also made Dodge Sebrings and Dodge Stratuses. The goal for the year 2000, the first year of production for the PT Cruiser, was to build 180,000 of them. But Chrysler immediately ran into a problem. The car and the engine were assembled on separate production lines until the engine has to go into the engine bay. Chrysler did this all the time. But because everything on the PT Cruiser was machined to fit perfectly, there is literally no room for error. The engine bay had only 0.6 of an inch clearance. Experienced workers struggled to fit the engine into the PT Cruiser, and for the first couple weeks of production, they only finished one car a day. For reference, Ferrari today builds about 20 cars a day. The only way the Toluca plant could do it was by stopping both assembly lines until the engine had been installed in one car. Something needed to be done quickly if they were ever going to meet the 180,000 car quota.
Can you imagine being on the production line and like you're in the middle somewhere? You're like, dude, I'm good at making doors, putting doors on this thing.
Right.
Those biffs at the end of the line. Just do your job. Put the engine in.
I do want to be the guy who gets to run up and like hit the red button. Like, stop. Sorry. Got to put the engine in, guys. What do you want me to do?
Solve the problem. Exec Gary Henson told the plant manager, Luis Rivas, to practice the process for 2 weeks. The workers set up a 3-section practice area in a corner of the factory. Each sector had 5 workers, and if they could not complete their task before the car moved to the next section, the line would hold until they could. Seems pretty reasonable. At the end of the 2-week practice session, the plant went from one car a day to one car every 10 minutes. Eventually, as production got into a groove and Chrysler was selling cars, the Toluca plant could build one PT Cruiser every 80 seconds. Problem solved. So,
dang,
that whole thing was because there was only 0.6 of an inch, I think, combined, or like...
So like when you're dropping the motor in before the hood's on,
yeah,
you have a little bit more than half an inch to squeeze in the motor to get it in place.
Because they used all these CAD systems,
mm-hmm.
The engineers designed it to be as practical and like utilitarian as possible.
Right.
So they used every
square inch,
every
could.
Square inch of space, and then had the workers figure it out.
Engineers are dicks.
Yeah.
The year 2000 was huge for the PT Cruiser. The car officially went on sale in March, and people went crazy for them. For the first year, the PT only came in two trim levels. Base model PTs had an MSRP of $15,450, and the highest trim level, the limited edition, came in at $18,260, which, according to my inflation calculator, $15,450 in today's money is $23,171.
Okay.
That's more expensive than I thought.
And then the top of the line trim at $18,260 is the same as $27,385 today.
So I got a $23,000 car or a $27,000 car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you get for $23,000 today? Civics.
Subaru Crosstrek.
Subaru Crosstrek.
You get some nice Kia if you'd like.
But it was going up against Camrys and
Probably Accords.
Probably Accords. Yeah.
You know, and there's probably like a lot of people, like people cross shop really weird stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. I bet there's people cross shopping against like Jeeps.
Sure.
Maybe like a RAV4.
Yeah, right. That kind of stuff.
But RAV4s are pretty small compared to this, right?
So this had 5 more cubic feet of cargo space, than the RAV4.
Than a RAV4. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, at that price point, even the most expensive PT was pretty affordable. Customers love the PT for its unique heritage-inspired styling and utilitarian design.
You ever say retro.
Yeah.
It was reliable, cheap, fun, and had a cool factor. It didn't look like anything else on the road, which was, again, we have to remember, this car was a huge deal back then, and that was a large reason why.
It looks
pretty groundbreaking. Dealers couldn't keep these things in stock, and soon wait lists filled up. One guy from Louisiana bought one of the first PTs in his state, and someone stopped him on the street and immediately bought it with cash for more than he paid, even though it had a cracked windshield. That shows the demand for these cars. The hype for the PT Cruiser created was on par with the new Beetle at the time. It was a hit right off the bat, and the big wigs at Chrysler were eating it up, especially Tom Gale. And Senior Vice President of Design, Trevor Creed. These two guys were the official hype men for the PT Cruiser. They always knew when to drop a Cruiser Mania or PT Fever in an interview to blow the whole situation out of proportion.
So most of the quotes in this book are from these two guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
tooting their own horn a little bit.
They're tooting their own horn. They're tooting the PT's horn.
Mm-hmm.
Beep, beep.
It's hilarious because Tom Gale was involved in a lot of other cars at Chrysler because he was head of design. Like, he was one of the reasons the Viper got built. He was, you know, the Neon SRT. He was head of SRT for a while.
Well, yeah, he's a hot rod enthusiast.
Yeah, but, like, he's super jazzed about the PT as well.
But also, it makes sense because, like, last week we learned they sold over 1 million of these, right?
Yeah.
So he's making money, honey. You know, yeah. Of course he's pumped. You know, if you go sell 1 million of anything, you're doing pretty good.
That's true.
Yeah. I can't. We were like different people last week.
I've grown so much. Whether it was a rear luggage rack, front end bra, or polished chrome wheels, Chrysler encouraged drivers to customize their PTs. Tom Gale said,
"It fits any lifestyle. Some may see it as a tribute to the classic era, a street rod. Others as a multifaceted and functional light truck in a class of its own, or some as simply a cool set of wheels."
Oh boy, Tom. The Speed Equipment Manufacturing Association, or SEMA, show in late 2000 was packed full of custom PT Cruisers.
This is when it gets really good.
There was a Louis Vuitton Cruiser, a Tag Heuer Cruiser, even a futuristic Woody concept. Tom Gale personally debuted the GT Cruiser concept with a turbocharged 2.4-liter inline-4. But the most exciting had to be the Brian Setzer Vavoom Setzer Cruiser.
I kept accidentally typing Seltzer.
Yeah, I thought his name was Brian Seltzer until just now.
So these were all just one-off builds that people brought to SEMA. Yeah. And became popular.
You have your laptop in front of you. Yeah. I suggest you look up the Vavoom PT Cruiser right now.
I'll describe the picture that I see.
Yep.
Bright candy blue, chrome wheels. It has red flames going down the side with block text that says Vavoom in the flames and a guy standing outside it playing a red guitar.
A guy? That's Brian Seltzer, dude.
If you took the year 2000 and boiled it down into a syrup, the Vavoom Cruiser is just that. Like Jeremiah mentioned, it's painted in electric blue with yellow and orange flames. This PT was customized by Chrysler's Pacifica Advanced Product Design Center. It features a built-in guitar rack, an amplifier inside the cab, and the word Vavoom on the fender, which was actually a promotion for Seltzer's album of the same name.
Oh, my God.
It had cat-eye taillights and bright orange leather seats.
Nothing says class like bright orange leather.
We'll get back to more Pass Gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the first year of production, Chrysler sold 175,000 PT Cruisers across 58 different countries.
Dang.
That was good news, as they had planned to sell 180,000. So a little short, but that's all right. The better news was that Chrysler received 300,000 expressions of interest in buying next year's model. Gotta love those expressions of interest. Hey. Yeah, I'm interested. Like, that means nothing to me.
I express my interest.
You just shout it from your rooftop. It's my money and I need it.
I do declare I'm interested in this PT.
All right. To deal with the demand, Chrysler started producing European PT Cruisers at a plant in Graz, Austria. When that proved to be not enough, they spent $300 million to expand the Toluca, Mexico plant in order to bump production up to 80,000 more PTs a year. This is going bananas. In 2001, Chrysler debuted the PT Woody and Dream Cruisers. The Woody was a limited run of 1,000 cars and a 1960s surf-style wagon, complete with a vinyl wood paneling on the doors. It was modeled after the 1941 to 1950 Chrysler Town and Country, and apparently it was a collaboration with East Coast-based Ron John Surf Shops.
Oh,
you know, those keychains.
Yeah. I used to live right by Ron John's. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The Dream Cruiser was named after an annual event in Detroit, the Woodward Dream Cruise. Every year, up to 1.5 million people and 30,000 cars would cruise Woodward Street, one of the best cruise strips in the U.S. They only made 7,500 Dream Cruisers that had numbered plaques on the middle console.
It's like really gaudy, big plaque.
They came in Inca gold with a gold-colored matrix leather seats. Oh, yeah. They're leather that you had. It was called matrix leather. One crazy special edition that I'm actually pretty jealous of was sold exclusively in the UK. It's called the PT Cruiser Nintendo DS Edition. It featured two Nintendo DSs, unique badging, and tinted windows. Only 100 of them were made, unfortunately. Chrysler would show up to events like BMX contests and the Touch Me Tour. What? That's what they called it.
That's exactly what you want to name your tour going to young kids playing video games. Yeah. It's the Touch Me Tour.
Which was a
get inside my van.
It's actually a light truck. One notable one being the V10 powered PT10. It had a flatbed and a Viper engine in it that boasted 500 horsepower. That's so sick. But that wasn't the most exciting thing that happened that year, believe it or not. At the 2001 New York International Auto Show, Trevor Creed debuted the PT Cruiser Convertible. Chrysler saw it as a necessary evolution in a sector of cars that they already had a good foothold in. Chrysler basically owned the convertible market in the U.S. At the time, other car manufacturers weren't producing many drop tops, and the Sebring made up 15% of the convertible market. That's just the Sebring. Chrysler was hoping to add to that success with the PT convertible.
So I want to stop for 1 second. Think about how crazy that is. One car makes up 15% of a sector of cars.
And it's a Chrysler.
Yeah.
And guess what? Chrysler was right. People responded to the convertible concept very well. The regular PT Cruiser also won Motor Trend's Car of the Year award in 2001, which still is very impressive. The PT Cruiser was meant to appeal to a younger audience. It was cheap, customizable, and most importantly, unique. But when Chrysler took a look at who was buying it, they were surprised. It wasn't so much cool young hipsters as it was oldies. As it turns out, when you built a car that's meant to look like it's a car from the 30s, the only people that buy it are going to be people who lived through the 30s. As an added bonus, older people loved how easy it was to get in and out of and how high the seats were. It was also very quiet. Millions of dollars in development money had been spent in the NVH department, or noise, vibration, and harshness, to decrease engine, road, and wind noise. This is like the same problem that the Scion XB had, because they developed a really practical, hip, unique-looking car for young people, but it was also very easy to get in and out of, so only old people bought it.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the commercial with the dancing mice?
No, that's the Kia Soul, which also
hamsters.
Also very easy to get in and out of and very practical and unique-looking, and old people buy it. Actually, one of my ex-girlfriends drove one, and it was... It's a good car.
Kind of like Scion, where it was like, okay, there's all these old people that are buying our cars. Let's have concerts and art shows to attract younger buyers. And I don't know.
Marketing is crazy, though.
Yeah.
Like, they spent hours and hours and like hundreds and thousands, millions of dollars to be like, this is the people we're going to go after. And then they release this car. It becomes a success, but not with the people that they designed it for. That's just crazy.
It didn't matter if the customers were old or not. PT Cruisers were still selling, and the people who bought them loved them. Maybe some people didn't get it, but the ones who did, they went all in. If there's one thing to be said about the PT Cruiser community, it's that the fans are hardcore. Still, even today, there are active PT Cruiser clubs all around the country. And in other countries like Japan, England, Italia, Australia, Germany, and the Netherlands. There is even a magazine called Cruiser Quarterly. Chrysler bought into this early on and started hosting events centered around the PT Cruiser. There was the PT Block Party, an annual event where over 3,000 PT Cruisers could show up and talk to other owners, show off their cars and mods, and even customize their PT then and there at the Mopar Speed Shop, which featured a bunch of aftermarket parts. The first one was held at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois, with a concert at the end emceed by Casey Kasem, that featured act like Chuck Berry and Little Anthony and the Imperials.
I'm Geezy Geezy.
You know, those guys.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge get, first of all.
Casey Kasem?
No, Little Anthony.
Casey Kasem definitely goes towards the older audience for sure.
They're having these events, these like block party events, and it's cool. It kind of drums up this energy within the community. People bring their PTs and show off their flames or whatever. Like,
it's always flames.
Yeah.
One year, the PT Block Party was held on Route 66. At the head of the pack was a Street Cruiser Route 66 edition dedicated to the Mother Road.
Honestly, this is really hard to convince people this is a cool car when they keep doing stuff like this.
The event...
Like, at the time... Like, I'm pretty sure Route 66 was, like, played out by that time.
Oh, yeah.
I would say so.
That Life is a Highway song. When did that come out? I don't even know. The event ended in Pomona, California, at the Fairplex that was decorated like a 1950s town, quote. They held model competitions for the kids, had a drag strip where you could test the yet-to-be-released PT Cruiser GT, and there's a concert by none other than our friends, Little Anthony and the Imperials. Little Anthony's really cashing in on this PT Cruiser thing.
Yeah, man, he's not. He knows a good thing when he sees it.
Chrysler highly encouraged drivers to customize their PTs, play, and have fun with them. They use these events to listen to customer requests and what they expected in future models. So they're taking notes from their loyal customers, which is really smart. 2002 was the first year that clutchless electronic gear shifting was available, called Auto Stick. It was done by levers next to the steering wheel. Oh my goodness. This was also the first year you could get your PT Cruiser with flame decals from the factory.
Nice.
Hell yeah. The flame option came in four different paint schemes: black, inferno red, deep cranberry, and silver. Damn, dude.
The cranberry is my favorite.
Deep cranberry.
Yeah. It has blue deep flames.
So wait, these are just the colors of the flames you could get?
These are the like flame packages that you could order. And it was just a paint scheme with vinyl flames on it. And the silver one, I don't know why anyone would get that. It doesn't, you can barely even tell there's flames on it. But the cranberry one has blue flames.
Wow.
Melting into.
Oh, I remember this one. Yeah. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all those. I'm pretty sure someone in my town had one of these things. I love the PT Cruiser, I think. Like, I just had a wave of love and nostalgia for this thing. We're not even done yet. The PT Cruiser GT debuted in 2003. It had a turbocharged 2.4-liter four-cylinder that made 215 horsepower. I believe this is the same engine that was in the Neon SRT4. It featured an aluminum engine block instead of the usual cast iron one. That's awesome. As well as a redesigned head and crank. They used the sound as a marketing device, saying that it doesn't sound like a normal PT. They also added special acoustic dampeners in the turbo intake manifold that killed all the turbo noises.
That's what I don't understand about this whole thing. They were like, oh, this thing sounds cool. But then they're like, but don't put any turbo noises. Like, make sure.
Listen, they're going for that older crowd.
They really
like,
are.
Yeah.
They like quiet rides. What's the name of that department? NVH? Noise Vibration Harmonics? They were like, don't you dare with our noise, vibration,
that
or harmonics.
That must have been what happened, man.
Can you imagine if an old person heard like, do-do-do-do-do, and they're like, oh, no. Dude. Oh no, did I run over a bird?
Well, what's interesting about this engine, if I'm correct, is that it doesn't have a muffler. The turbo killed enough of the noise that it didn't need that. And like that's kind of the same thing you hear when you see like a Fiat 500 to Barth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same deal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Those don't have mufflers. They sound awesome.
Right.
But I bet it was just too loud for that PT crowd, honestly. Chrysler wanted to appeal to a younger crowd, and younger crowds want more power, baby. And more power, baby, they got, baby. That's in the script. Arguably the best PT of all time came a year later in 2004. The PT Cruiser GT Turbo High Output had an updated version of the turbocharged 2.4-liter that now made 220 horsepower. Paired with a 5-speed Getrag transmission, it could go 0 to 60 in 7.5 seconds. It did come with an automatic option that had a zero time that was a half a second slower. Dang it.
Isn't that crazy that there's a half a second difference between the automatic and manual?
Usually, well, at this time, yeah, I mean, usually automatics are faster.
Well,
this,
nowadays.
Nowadays, I guess, this is just a bad transmission. The MSRP of the GT was $28,000 back then, which is about $41,000 today. Can you imagine spending $41,000 on a PT Cruiser?
I would spend twice that.
Again, Chrysler was sending mixed signals. The GT was aimed at a younger audience, but the price didn't reflect that. Isn't that, that's the truth, man. Still like that.
We'll get back to more past gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
2004 was the first year you could buy a PT Cruiser convertible from the factory. Fans had been holding their breath for 4 years since the concept debuted in 2001. Instead of retrofitting an already existing PT Cruiser convertible, was designed from the ground up as a convertible. Nothing from the A-pillar back on the convertible was interchangeable with the regular PT Cruiser. That's pretty incredible. Chrysler engineers used a CAD system, or computer-aided design system, to fortify structural integrity. The sport bar stretched across the cabin helped with rigidity. The stiffer body meant a quieter ride, better handling, and limited twist and bend. It was actually much quieter than most convertibles. The NVH team went crazy with sound dampening. It was said that you could have had a picnic table conversation with your passenger while the top was down. That's definitely some corporate marketing speak there. The sports bar also moved air over the car, so it didn't get sucked back in the cabin. That's very cool. It had a slightly different grille and a bumper the same color as the car instead of the dark gray plastic bumpers on the rest of the models, which is very good.
But like, PT enthusiasts hated this new update. I don't know why. I feel like the bumper of the same color looks better than the big gray bumper. And they also mess with the grille a little bit.
Let's get some opinion going here. Some hot takes.
Like, it's like a separate piece in the earlier ones, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of molded it. But I do like the older one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because the grill portion on the new one, it doesn't go all the way down.
Yeah, it doesn't drop down like the old one. Definitely looks more like the Prowler.
I do like the old one better. I don't like the gray bumper, but I do like the grill better on the older one. I can't believe I'm saying this. What am I saying? What am I talking about? The regular PT was updated as well with the new front. From the outside, it would seem like a small change, but to PT loyalists, it was a slap in the face. So much so that they called any cruiser from 2004 on second gen, even though technically there was only one generation over the life of the PT.
Just got a little facelift.
The general public also began to turn on the heritage cruiser as well. Maybe it was the lame corporate custom mods. Maybe it was that only old people drove them and old people are generally not great drivers. Or maybe it's that Michael Scott drove one in The Office. It wasn't just superficial issues either. PT Cruisers were plagued with real mechanical problems as well. Reliability was bad. The gas mileage was bad. It was too small to be a utility vehicle. And you'd be much better off buying something like a Honda Element that was actually more utilitarian and way more reliable. The engine was hard to work on because of that clearance. The air intake needed to be taken out to access the battery. Oh my God. It had a huge, useless turn radius and blind spots galore. PT interiors felt cheap and plasticky. Before long, sales dropped drastically and the end was in sight. The PT Cruiser had become a joke car that old people drove, and no matter what Chrysler did, they couldn't reverse that image. Production finally ended in 2010 with over 1 million PT Cruisers spanning 10 years of production. Wow. Yeah, I think there were other retro cars coming out. Oh, sorry. Heritage design cars coming out at that time. There's the SSR truck that you're talking about.
So I think what they did was like, this car is trying to be too much. Let's just split it into a bunch of different cars. But that's where the Crossfire came out of. The Pacifica, if you look at it, kind of looks like a surf wagon. Mm-hmm. It has like the textured side that could almost be like wood grain or whatever. And then the HHR came out and took a huge chunk out of PT sales as well.
Yeah.
I mean, an HHR just looks like a boxier version of a PT Cruiser, right?
It looks like a little pig.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a big thing that led to this car's downfall, I remember reading somewhere that the reason they were able to sell so many of them is that they just sold to anybody, regardless of credit.
Oh, yeah, It was like pre...
This is like before the recession and everything. Yeah. But like, people would buy these cars with zero money down, crazy interest rates, and by the time they were done paying the car off, the car depreciated like 75% or something over the course of like 3 years, which really messed up the reputation.
Sure.
Oh, so what do you think, Jeremiah?
What do I think?
We began this series trying to change your mind on the PT Cruiser and tell you it's a good car, and then we ended the story by saying it was a piece of crap.
Well, like all kind of cars that I don't know much about but then dig into, you know, which is pretty much what we do for Up to Speed. The PT Cruiser has some cool models. The best one is that Viper truck.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's a one-off thing. I think that's the best PT Cruiser. If you're going to get a PT Cruiser, it's got to have a Viper motor and a 3-foot bed that you could put, I don't know, some apple crates in or something. I don't know. It's not like it's a very big bed back there.
Because that's what you're doing if you own one of those, is you're going from the apple farm.
You're an apple farmer.
To the apple stand.
Very clearly apple person. But it's still, you know, it's just not for me, I don't think.
Not for you?
Not for me.
Okay.
I think we could change your mind if we took you to a PT event. Which actually, we just hired a limo that's waiting outside.
Oh, the PT limo? Take us,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I just like that people love their own car. These PT guys are still, sounds like they're going pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know?
So the thing about that, there's too many clubs to research in the short amount of time I had. So I really like spent time researching this Colorado Cruisers Club, which is open to any cruiser.
Oh,
by the way, but is most people in this club have PTs, and the woman who they interviewed was like in her late 50s, and she was like, I'm considered young for this group.
Oh no.
And I went to their website, and there's a really passive aggressive post. It's not updated much anymore, but let me read you this.
Yeah, please do.
We've had only a handful of people this past year help us organize places to go and things to do. We do enjoy meeting with you every month, but we are running out of ideas. We need you to step up and get us set up for activities such as parades, going to interesting places, restaurants, etc. We all have very busy lives, but if we want to continue to have fun together, we honestly need your help. That's what a club is. A group of folks, not individuals.
Love, Tammy. Yeah.
Some drama. I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. If you're going to be a part of a club.
This group is crazy. There's a guy that spent $100,000 on customizing.
Oh, this is the group.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got like some well-known comic book artist to do like an airbrushed picture on the back.
Right.
As well as like incredible flames. Mm-hmm. But some guy in this group made a V8 Hemi-powered rear wheel conversion of it. And I think that might be my favorite.
I think a really fun project would be one of the turbo cars.
Mm-hmm.
Make that just super fast.
Depends how cheap. Like if someone gave you it, would you spend time and money to work on it and like make it better? See, that's the test. That's the litmus test. If someone gave it to you and they were like, hey, make this thing what you want, would you dump money into it?
I wouldn't dump money. Here's what I'd do. Okay. I would ask our boy Jimmy. I would get the wheel dimensions of the car, and I'd say, hey, find me the most ridiculous knockoff wheels you can for this car. And then I'd buy some cheap suspension, slam it, put dumb wheels on it, and be done with it, I think.
Okay.
And just make it stupid.
You know what I would do?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'd raise the roof another 2 feet and convert it to 3 wheels.
All right, so we have some mixed feelings on the PT Cruiser. Well, thank you so much for listening to Pass Gas. Follow Donut on everything. Follow our YouTube channel if you haven't watched our videos yet for some reason. Follow us at Donut Media on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Nolan J. Sykes and on Instagram at Nolan J. Sykes.
Follow me on Twitter at Joe Webb.
At Joe Webb.
My other plug was for my Instagram.
You're just going around the circle.
Yeah.
I only have one Instagram, at Jeremiah Burton.
There you go. Follow us all. Thank you so much for listening again. We're going to talk about the Nissan GTR next week, so stick with us. Thank you very much for listening. Bye. Love you.